Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. All this week, we've been looking back at the past 20 years of the Afghanistan War in our series we called The Longest War. In our final episode, we look forward to what young Afghans want. People under the age of 25 are more than 60% of the population of Afghanistan. The median age is about 18. Its people are young, and most of those young people have lived most of their lives during the 20 years of the U.S. military involvement there. They've grown up with expanded rights for women, a burgeoning media, new technology, and opportunities previously unavailable when the Taliban ruled. Well, now, the Taliban are back in power. So what do young Afghans want for the future of their country?
My name is Aisha Barakse. I'm 19 years old and I'm from Afghanistan. And I was around 12 years old when I went to Pakistan. And I was around 14 when I came to U.S.
My name is Dr. Iman Ahmed Sadiq, and I am 33 years old. I'm an Afghan refugee myself. My parents left in the 80s during the Soviet invasion.
My name is Sana Safi. I am 32 years old. I was born in Afghanistan in 1989. I was 7 years old when I went to school, and I was told that the Taliban say girls can't come in.
My thoughts on what's happening in Afghanistan is summarized in one word: heartbroken.
It's really heartbreaking.
I'm exhausted. And the reason is that I haven't had the time to process what has been happening.
It was my mother who was on the front lines, arrested in protests in the 80s against the communist invasion. And now I see women lining the streets of Kabul, Herat, protesting the same way. And yet the situation that they will face, what they will endure, I fear, is far more horrific and gruesome.
At times I get the flashbacks of I was 7. I didn't go to school. I wasn't allowed to go to school. And then this realization that, is this going to be the same for the young girls who are growing up now, for the 7-year-olds right now? Are they going to be stopped from going to schools? Will the international community completely isolate them, isolate the country, cut off relationship with the regime? Will the women be able to ever go back to work the way they used to in the last 20 years? So it's lots of questions. And still, I think, mentally, it's still very dizzying.
The young people who are there have only known a life filled with strife and war and suffering. And every time they gain hope, it's been stripped away.
I'm hoping for the future of Afghanistan to change. Otherwise, all Afghan women and children will not have any future left.
For Afghanistan, I want them to be self-sufficient. I want them to have the food, the shelter, the safety to live in and enjoy their lives.
My hope for the future of Afghanistan feels somewhat like a fairy tale. The fairy tale that was told to me as a bedtime story of the beautiful mountains, the beautiful fields, the huge, huge fields of grapes, the delicious fruits, the hustle and bustle of the streets, the kindness and generosity of the people.
People would be walking down the street without being scared.
A country that they want for themselves. A country that they're comfortable in. A country that can provide them safety, security, and that they're happy in.
The world will be shocked by how brave Afghan people were and how brave Afghans are.
It is a dream of a place where the people can live the true meaning of the word salam. Salam meaning peace. Everlasting peace.
Aisha Barakse, Dr. Iman Ahmad Sadiq, and Sana Safi. We featured many voices and many stories this week. women, military veterans, members of Congress. Listen back to our series, The Longest War, in your podcast feed. And let us know what you think about these kinds of deep dive series. What would you like us to explore in the future? Email us at onpoint@wbur.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.